2-1-2 break. Lead pass, Celebrini moving in, shoot, star!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Will Smith in front, he scores!
As the official ticket marketplace of the Sharks in the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Palat the drive, great save by Askarov!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Episode 2 of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the Sharks Audio Network. Drew, we've had some exciting games these last couple of days. I decided to do a little count. There are 18 San Jose Sharks that are still playing in the playoffs, and there are two more who were part of the organization, played in the AHL, but never played for the Sharks, but are in these playoffs. You remember who those two guys are?
No.
Yanni Gourde.
Oh, yeah. Shoot, I should have said Yanni Gourde for sure.
Who is playing, obviously, in the playoffs, and he played for the Worcester Sharks. Right. But here's the one a lot of people forget. He played a little for the Barracuda, too. Colin Blackwell, out of Harvard University. Sharks drafted him. Just scored an overtime winner a couple of days ago for the Dallas Stars. And he's another prospect that never played here, but he's part of the organizational history. So it's kind of cool. So that gives us a total of 20 players that are in the playoffs. So there's no excuse for Sharks fans not to check it out.
Yeah, without a doubt. And plus, the games have been great. It's fine. I should have known Blackwell as well because I had dinner the other night with a bunch of people. And, you know me, I was forced to go. But a guy there, Lou Holtz, who's a big Sharks fan, mentioned Blackwell to me scoring the overtime winner. He goes, he was a Shark at one time. I went, was he? So, yeah, so that was another one. That's a good one, Jenny.
Let us get to the hockey world. First of all, let's go to Ottawa against the Toronto Maple Leafs. What a series this is. Looked like the Leafs were going to totally run away with it in many respects. And yeah, they're up 3-0, but Ottawa took a 1-0 lead in game number 3 on a goal by Claude Giroux.
Ottawa back in the zone. Tkachuk back to the point for Batherson. Now Sanderson leaves it for Giroux. 25 seconds to go in the first penalty. There's a shot. Scores! Giroux through a crowd. Ottawa's on the board, and they stay on the power play.
Now, Dean Brown pretty excited at that point, but Joe Bowen decided it was time to have another country heard from.
Nylander holds, top of the circle, down into the corner for Nyes. Back it comes to Marner. Quickly to Nylander. Shot blocked. Nyes centers. Scores! A centering pass by Nyes hit a body or a skate and ever so slowly trickled over the goal line, and the Leafs have tied the game.
There are a lot of moments like that, aren't there, where the puck is just sort of sneaking, slinking toward the goal. You're not sure if it's going to go in, and then finally it goes in.
The key is getting to the net, right? Putting the puck at the net and getting people to the net, something that Ryan Rosowski talked about all year with the San Jose Sharks that he needs to see and will see, I do believe, them getting better at. But you looked at the goals, all the goals last night that were scored. The amount of traffic at the net is the big key. It's tremendous how guys go to the net and know that's where you score the goals.
Well, with the score 2-1, Toronto, Brady Tkachuk decided that it was time for him to take a role in the series, and this one was a beauty.
Claude Giroux wins the draw. Here's Clevin. Out to center with it, through the middle of the ice. Giroux to the line, here's Brady Tkachuk with a shot, scores! Brady Tkachuk ties it at 2 with a laser!
This guy is just money, isn't he? Brady Tkachuk, the way that he leads his team, and he was all fired up. Ottawa is not dead in this series. And by the way, it is important to note that there have been 4 teams, as we all know, that have come back from 3-0 deficits to win the series. Most recently, 2014, Los Angeles. The last time before that was when Philadelphia came from behind to win, and Claude Giroux was on that team. So here he is in Ottawa. He's got that experience. He might be able to help settle the Sens down a little bit. And of course, they've got the home crowd. And by the way, the crowd in Ottawa was great.
Yeah, they were loud, raucous, excited to have playoff hockey back for Giroux, too. Giroux's played very well this season. Well, since he's gone, well, he's always played well. Todd McClellan coached him at the World Championships and cannot speak highly enough about the type of person, player, and character he has. So Giroux's been a big, big plus for the Ottawa Senators.
Just a total pro, and also a big plus has been Anthony Stolarz, who I think is, hasn't lost a game since March.
Did you see the big controversy? Stolarz in warm-up, Nick Cousins. Stolarz is by the penalty box where, you know,
I did not see the warm-up, so I did not see this.
So Stolarz is by the boards warming up, okay, during warm-up. He's doing the stretch. You know they always come near to the sideboards, okay?
Right.
Cousins rolls by him. Cousins, of course, playing for Ottawa. Shoots the puck at him, and everybody, this is big puck gate now. This is, oh my goodness me, and this, it's very grainy footage, very grainy. Somebody was recording it on their cell phone.
Was Abe Zapruder's nephew there or something?
Right? Yeah, and everybody's wondering why you can't do that and blah, 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 and it's become a big thing in Canada. Nobody bothered to look to understand why that would happen, as in, do they know each other? And yes, for crying out loud, last year they played on the same damn Stanley Cup winning team together. Before that, they played in Lehigh Valley together. Some people in certain places in the NHL market, Toronto, want to make a big deal about something that's nothing. And by the way, that happens all the time. You and I watch warm up all the time while you're working. I'm down on the bench. It's the guys. Well, anyway,
it's the last chance for them to have just play time before it's time to go to work.
Exactly. As much ado about nothing is what it is.
Well, it wasn't much ado about nothing for Simone Benoit in overtime.
Face off to the right of goaltender Ullmark. And puck not dropped. Now it is, and the Leafs win the draw. Shot by Benoit, scores! Benoit! Holy mackerel of all people! He sets up the winner in game two! He wins game three! Simone Benoit!
Lengthening out that name, but how about that call of all people? I thought that was awesome.
Joe Bowen, one of the best in the business. Just
love the man.
What a wonderful person. Been doing it for years, and that call is fantastic.
Incredible. Well, Toronto's up 3-0. We know how difficult it is for a team to come back, although we also know from Sharks history that it is possible for a team to come back. Having said that, it's a very difficult chore for the Ottawa Senators, and they're going to have to just take everything that they have and they've learned about the game and apply it to game four.
Yeah, the inexperience, I think we talked about it after game one. I think there's the numbers out of 13 or 18 guys who have not played in the NHL playoffs on that team. It's quite a large number. So the inexperience is definitely there for the Ottawa Senators. And sometimes it's tough to learn at this situation because so much is made of every play and every moment and every shift. But when you look at it, the Ottawa Senators they've lost in overtime the last two games, and they're there. They're close, but how do you get the next one? How are you the team that's doing at the critical moment, doing the right thing?
How do you think Ullmark's doing in that series and goal?
I was just going to ask you that question.
That's the key for game number four for me. He's got to have a great game.
Yeah, he's got to be the Linus Ullmark we saw in Boston the last few seasons. I don't think he's been great, but at the same time, I can't look at any goals that I go, oh, like any game where he's led in a succession of goals where I think he stuck the joint up.
Also, in that particular series, you've got two ex-Sharks, one of them Fabian Zetterlin. Doesn't have a point yet. I've noticed him a few times, and he's been close, too. I'm just kind of hoping that maybe he has a big game. And on the other side of the ice, Stephen Lawrence has been a nice add. They're calling him Stephen Lawrence there now. It's just to mess things up. But for us, he's Stephen Lawrence, and I think he's a great kid. I really hope that he has a great game four.
Now, Steven is one of those guys that you cheer for, Danny, as you know, because he's so positive, so upbeat, just a smile on his face every day. As he always used to say, every day in the NHL is a good day. And yet you got to cheer for a guy like that without a doubt. And he was in Florida last year and he was a big part of that team. Remember Paul Maurice talking to us about him this past season. He's just a terrific guy. You cheer for guys like that.
Well, game number four between Toronto and Ottawa will be on Saturday. And of course, that is going to be a fascinating contest.
We continue now with the Sharks Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Let's go to Alligator Alley and find out what's going on with the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. I have to really honestly say, Drew, that I'm kind of shocked by this series. I really thought that Tampa was primed to just blow them out of the water and end their Stanley Cup hopes, but apparently not.
Especially the way Tampa was playing near the end of the season versus how Florida was playing after the Four Nations. After the Four Nations, Florida, they maintained, but they were definitely missing something. And that missing piece seems to be Matthew Tkachuk, because he came back with a vengeance. I was shocked at the first game. And then the response from the Tampa Bay, I was looking for more last night. But Florida looks like they're back to being that Stanley Cup winning team they were last year. They're doing everything that they did last year. It's a simple, hard, straight ahead, tough game. And Bobrovsky last night was fantastic.
He sure was. And that's another interesting duel with the goaltenders, because they're both great. Vasilevsky on one side, and he's a Stanley Cup champion twice over. And Bobrovsky, who won the cup last year for the Florida Panthers. In fact, he made a pretty big save when the score was 1-0 in favor of Florida when Tampa tried to tie it up.
Out to the far side of the ice at the point. Moser, Hedman, one-timer that's blocked by Tkachuk, who went down blocking the shot. He's back to his feet. Hedman again. Far side, Moser shot. Save made by Bobrovsky with the glove. In the full splits, he lunged out and made that save to keep the Panthers up 1-0 with 3:27 checked that in the third period.
Yep, Doug Plagans with the call, and basically he's putting his body into positions that the human body isn't supposed to go into to try to make saves like that. But that's what makes Bobrovsky Bobrovsky. Meantime, how about Nate Schmidt? How about this goal?
Now one-timer and they score, and it's Nate Schmidt. Two goals in game one, and he rips one home here. A one-timer from Nate Schmidt. He was set up by Reinhardt, and the Panthers take a 1-0 lead with 15:45 to play here in the first.
How many times last season during the Sharks campaign, Drew, did we call games in which a face-off loss resulted in a goal? That's another classic example, but Nate Schmidt's got three goals already. Who does he think he is, the Rocket?
Exactly, and he drilled that one. Now, that was an interesting one, because Brian Boucher talked about the fact that he thought Vasilevsky should have had that coming across, but it was a smart shot by Schmidt, because Schmidt's still rolling to his right up on the point, and he drills it back going the other way. So he's moving one way and shooting the other, and that one-timer was a rocket, and Vasilevsky just came over a little bit too much, went back the other side. A great shot, but boy, Nate Schmidt, he's a player. You know, he's always been that third D-man, you know, always played really solid, always put points up, just been a very good player. But in these first two games, oh my goodness.
And then when it came down to it, goaltender pulled for the extra attacker, but Florida comes up big.
Hedman up the far side, got by Hagel. Jones bats it the other way, 9 seconds. Now in go the Lightning. It bounced away from Kucherov at center ice. Bennett, long shot of the empty net. He scores! Sam Bennett on the empty net. And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead with 2.9 seconds to go here in the third period.
You know, as I watched that goal and as I listened to that call from Doug Plagans, I'm reminded that players like Sam Bennett are really drawing on their experience from last season of winning the Stanley Cup and making great plays at great moments. Meantime, Nikita Kucherov, leading scorer in the NHL, has been relatively silent here so far, and he lost the puck on that play.
Relatively invisible too, besides a couple of, well, that was an error. That's just great checking really by Florida, and that's what they do. They do it very well, that they pressure. But I've been, as you said, shocked when it comes to the way that Tampa has played. We've seen Getzel play terrific, Braden Point have some chances, Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Hagel haven't shown us a heck of a lot. And, you know, obviously there's other guys on the ice, but when you play in the playoffs, as we know, the big players matter, and the big players are playing for the Florida Panthers right now, or producing for the Florida Panthers right now.
Well, let's move on to another series in the Western Conference. It's the first place President's Trophy winning Winnipeg Jets and the St. Louis Blues, the team that was on a roll heading toward the playoff series. And St. Louis coming up huge when the series shifts back to the Midwest. Well, they're both in the Midwest, but in the Midwest of the U.S., Winnipeg winning the first couple of games. And here we are in game number three with Pavel Buchnevich putting the puck in the net to start things off.
Perico holds it in. Buchnevich center. Miss Thomas. Now Fowler with a shot. Rebound. He scores. Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah, you know what I always say, get off to a good start. And as far as the puck bouncing off his leg, he'll tell his grandkids he snapped it top corner, but it doesn't really matter. the beauty of that play was interesting. Jimmy Snuggerud gets the assist. Now, that makes both you and I feel old, given the fact that his dad, Dave Snuggerud, played for the San Jose Sharks during the Cow Palace years. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't he still part of a record that still stands? Two fastest goals. He and Larry DePalma did it in like 7 seconds. That's coming off the top of my head. I think that's the number. Fastest two goals in Sharks history. And I think that record still stands.
Yeah, it still stands. And it was, it was those two. And the great Larry DePalma, former Saskatoon Blade, and Dave Snuggerud. Great Dave Snuggerud, terrific, terrific person, individual. Really, we loved having Dave around.
Well, he was around again, and Pavel Buchnevich had an amazing night against Winnipeg. Made it 2-0, only 3:11 into the game on a power play goal.
Fowler takes it to the far point. Sets it up to the far wing. That's Thomas down the left side. Backhands it over to Cam Fowler straight away. Finding Thomas in the circle. Shoots it high. The puck to the glass comes to Bull Duke near wing. The rookie to the blue line. Fowler holds it. Passes Thomas in the circle. Backs up. Deflection. Score! Pavel Buchnevich. He's got two. Under the bar on the deflection on a great feed from Thomas. Power play goal. 2-0 St. Louis. 16:49 to play first period.
There's that famous Oregon in St. Louis getting everybody all riled up. But one thing about both those goals, Cam Fowler was in on both of them. He seems to have fit in really nicely with St. Louis and has been a big part of their resurgence after that trade from Anaheim.
Yeah, I was texting with my brothers this morning, and that's one of the things that my brother Don brought up is how good Cam Fowler has looked. And he's a terrific player. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks know how to draft guys, and especially defensemen. And Cam Fowler has been very good, fit in perfectly. But I think that's probably a room where when you look at the people in that room, you know, I look at Shan, you look at Buchnevich, you look at a lot of guys that are still on that team, that you go, it could be a pretty easy room to fit into. A lot of veteran presence there.
By the time we got to the 15-minute mark of the first period, the Blues were in total command, and there's that name Fowler again, there's that name Robert Thomas again, and there's Buchnevich.
Buchnevich finding Thomas. In the middle, Fowler, score! 3-0, St. Louis! 4:09 to play, third period, Cam Fowler lights the lamp.
Amazing. Cam Fowler putting the puck into the net. 15:51, the time of that goal, and St. Louis had a 3-0 lead after only one period of play. Now, if you're Winnipeg, I mean, you got to be reeling. And of course, probably what's happening north of the border is everybody is saying, oh, Connor Hellebuck can't play in the playoffs anymore.
That's 100% what everybody's saying, Denny. you know Canada well, but that is exactly what they're talking about. And but,
go ahead.
I was going to say that the playoffs are about ups and downs. And you referenced a game in our first broadcast about Bob Airey and the 16 points. The 16 points because it takes 16 wins to win the Stanley Cup. And one of those points is you don't get too high, you don't get too low. The past is the past. Let it go and get on to the next thing. And that's what sports reporters and fans in Canada have a hard time doing. They don't look for fixes. They look for blame, you know? And so sometimes it's just the other team outplaying your team, the entire team.
Sometimes it is. There's nothing you can do about it. But you know what? With the score 3-0, Connor Hellebuck came up with at least one big save on Pavel Buchnevich.
It's snatched by Braden Schenk. He moved it ahead to the near side for Kyrou. Denting in, shoots. It's blocked nicely. Rebound back out in front. Buchnevich shooting! And it's blocked away by Hellebuck.
That was a heck of a save there on Buchnevich, although he would end up getting the hat trick. And on the other side of the ice, don't forget about Binnington, too, because he made some big stops, including this one on Cole Perfetti.
Shifley trying to put his team on the board. He's got the puck. They dance it down low. Connor backdoor. Binnington the glove save.
It might be in.
Reaches back. Keeps it out. Cole Perfetti says he thought it was in. Binnington's glove. Kept it from the net.
Yeah, they're saying this is anything. Ooh, it's going to be close.
And they might have to check this one.
Wow. No goal after looking at it. Have you noticed something also is that in a lot of these playbacks, Drew, that all of a sudden absolutely nothing is going on? Absolutely nothing. There's no space. Nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, bam, something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go back to that goal. Did you think it was it?
No, I didn't think so.
I thought so.
Did you?
If you look, yeah, the overhead camera angle, you look at his glove is past the goal line, and you can see the puck in his glove through the webbing.
I guess what I was saying was that it was inconclusive. That's how they probably looked at it. But by the same token, did he blow the whistle?
But here's the other thing. Are we not technologically advanced enough yet as a society and as a league where we can have an electronic situation go off or electronic buzzer or something go off where the puck does completely cross the goal line? As in tennis, when you're watching Wimbledon, when a serve is out or a play is out, you can go to the simulation and it shows where the ball landed in or out on the line or not on the line. Are we not technologically advanced yet where we can do something like that?
Well, probably, but the question is, can you beat police radar? That's the question.
Well, so far, I'm proof that no, you can't.
It is almost virtually impossible to do that. And right now, the St. Louis Blues have made this a series with that 7-2 win.
They were a force last night. They were very good. But when they were getting on their hot streak, they were scoring goals. They showed that they can score goals going into the playoffs to get where they got to, where they're able to get into that wild card spot. This is a team that if you go to sleep on or you're light defensively on, they will put pucks in the net like they did last night. This is going to be a more interesting series. I was asked yesterday on the show I used to do back in Saskatchewan, but which team has the best, do you think, opportunity to come back in this 0-2 situation? And I mentioned one of the teams that I thought that could be dangerous was the St. Louis Blues, just because of the fact of how hard they had to work to get to the point of making the playoffs. And when they did that, they put a lot of pucks in the net. Jimmy Montgomery's done a great job with that team.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
A couple of more series to talk about, and we are going to get to the San Jose Barracuda 2 on today's show. But, Drew, I can't resist but to ask if one of the other teams that could come back is the Edmonton Oilers, because yeah, they certainly have the ability to do it. But it seems as if there is, shall we say, an identity crisis going on in the entire city of Edmonton now after the Los Angeles Kings have played picture-perfect hockey to take a 2-0 series lead.
Well, a couple things. You mentioned the last game or last broadcast when we did this about Ekholm and what a big, big loss he is for the Edmonton Oilers, and that is definitely true. The other thing that everybody had questions about coming into this series, coming into this season, was, is Stuart Skinner the guy? It looks like Calvin Pickard is going to start tonight against the Los Angeles Kings. Los Angeles Kings, best home record in the National Hockey League. But the other aspect is they trounced the Edmonton Oilers. They put up six again. So the special K line, Kuzmenko, Kopitar, Kempe, I think they had 17 points total.
They're playing unbelievable hockey right now. Kuzmenko has made a big difference, but there's that that old pro, Anje Kopitar, directing traffic.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going up against a line that's playing great. You're going up against the best home team in the National Hockey League, and you're going up against the Korean Harmonica Orchestra.
I know. They're going to be at every single Kings home game now for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
In fact, they'll probably have a harmonica handout at some point.
It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. So, but you are playing the Edmonton Oilers because they've got the best players in the world, if not the two best players in the world, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. And they have that ability to come back. We saw them come back last year in the Stanley Cup Finals down 3. But they've given up 12 goals in 2 games. They've got to fix that first.
How about Jake Walman? Do you think that puck was directly off his stick over the glass, or did it actually deflect, and was he right?
You can't tell, but I looked at it and I thought, I wouldn't have challenged it. Like, if I wouldn't have challenged that if I was not blocked. Now, that was interesting because it worked out well for the Oilers, but I who knows? The referees have all those. You've got a bunch of guys. You got 5 guys out there pointing over. It's a penalty. You got 5 guys going, no. It went off somebody. It was deflected.
So crazy, crazy price totals in these playoffs. Cam Fowler, a goal and 4 assists in the game in the 7-2 win against Winnipeg. The hat trick for Buchnevich. And on the other side of the ice in Vegas and Minnesota series, we've got Kirill Kaprizov showing that he, had he been healthy all year, would have been a Hart Trophy candidate.
He has been ridiculously good. Matt Boldy.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. Matt Boldy's goal yesterday that's a great goal. And I'll say right now, I thought Vegas was going to be one of the teams in the Western Conference Final. They were, I thought, a juggernaut, and they looked like they had the right attitude. But I forgot, you mentioned it last time we talked, that the number one team in the league in January was the Minnesota Wild. And then Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek got hurt. They were out for a total together of 77 games. Matt Boldy started taking over. They kept afloat. And boy, did they look good last night.
Boy, did they ever. Kirill Kaprizov, his 3rd and 4th goals of the playoffs already. And Boldy's goal, I thought, was a beauty.
Chinek wins a draw back from Michael. Left wing side, Berdin bounces it out the center, just out of the reach of Petrangelo. So icing waved off. Hanifin scurries back. Boldy bothers him. Boldy came up with the puck. Boldy in tight with the shot. He scores! Oh!
That was just a great, great goal by Matt Boldy, and you talked about it already. He was great against the Sharks every time that the San Jose team faced him. And, of course, Kaprizov is Kaprizov, and Eriksson Ek had that 4-goal game against the Sharks at the end of the year. So no surprises from any of these teams here. Got a couple of minutes left here, Drew, and I want to focus a little bit on the San Jose Barracuda. They're in the playoffs. They're playing at Crypto.com Arena. I wanted to congratulate you for showing your credentials to the security people during the middle of the game last night. That was incredible. What did they think you guys were doing?
I don't know. There's so that level, that broadcast level, the upper concourse was blocked off. Okay. We were allowed up there, but they also hauled Mike Ricci out of the seats because of the other side. It was only one side that was being used because it was in Crypto and people aren't coming all the way from Ontario. Mike Ricci got hauled off to talk to a supervisor because he couldn't find his NHL pass. We're broadcasting live during the game, and the security person comes over, right in front of us, that row right in front of the broadcast booth, asks their guy, the Ontario group, for their credentials. And while Nick and I are talking on the air, he asks us for ours. I've never seen that in my life.
Well, it was a great day, and it was a kind of a terrible game until much of the contest was over, but a guy named Pavel Regenda, not Remenda, Regenda, took a little play in front of a net from Ethan Frisch and made it 1-0.
Started from a strong Barracuda forecheck. Barracuda trying to win it back below the goal line in the offensive zone. Bisted gives off for Dewar. Lays up high to the point. Cagnoni, right side Frisch. Rister, he scores! It made its way through traffic. Ethan Frisch from the right side has opened up the scoring with 12:40 left in period number 3.
As it turned out, that traffic in front, Regenda got a piece of it, 1-0 Cuda, and then I was really happy to hear that Philip Bisted was on his game.
Holding steers it along. Great defensive play, Cagnoni. Now it guides it along for Colin White. Barracuda could have numbers. White coming down the right wing, holding feathers along. Bisted, he scores!
Philip Bisted making it 2-0. I was happy that he's back to health and making a contribution.
Danny, he's played really well since he came back, talking to John McCarthy. John had a talk with him, as a matter of fact, and he's looked upon right now as being one of those leaders that needs to push forward if the Barracuda want to get on a playoff run, because Podorowski's out, because Gushchen was sick yesterday. Bistad played a very good game. We're going to play a very good game. And just a personal note, San Jose Sharks fans, we are so fortunate, and I am too, because I get to work with the Hall of Famer, Dan Rusinowski, Randy Hahn, and Danny. I know you are, like me, a big fan of Nick Nolenberger. Does a great job with the Cuda.
Absolutely. Does a fantastic job. Definitely worth a listen. And we'll have all the action on the Sharks audio network throughout the playoffs, with the Cuda looking to sweep that series if they get another victory in game two against the Ontario Reign, coached by Marco Sturm. That is all the time we have for today's show, but make sure you stay with us on the Sharks Stanley Cup Playoff Report.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.